One of the things that always amazed me as I got up to preach a lot of Sunday mornings is that many times I would not have any communication with the person that was leading the music, and of course I didn't have any time this week to meet Andrew. But how the music goes along, in a sense, with the message and the communication and the preparation of our hearts during the worship time, because really, as I listened to the words this morning, it really kind of struck me how, you know, the influence of Jesus Christ in our life and the effect that he has on us as believers, and the influence that he has. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning, the influence, the life-changing impact of Jesus really is the title of the sermon. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28 this morning. But the influence of Jesus' ministry dramatically communicated the life-changing power of God. I think we all know there's people that have been a part of our life that have had an impact upon our life, but Jesus was unique in the way that he touched people's life with the power of God. So I want us to look at that passage this morning in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. These passages remind us of the power of Jesus to transform lives and to have an impact on the world, our lives. And I'm sure that in your life you've had people that have left an imprint upon your heart and upon your life. I know that I have people that have had a life-changing impact. One of those people, as I've thought about it, as I've gotten older, is my grandpa, and his name was George Buchholz, is my mom's dad. And he lived a unique life because at 13 years old, he went to work in the coal mines in southern Illinois, around Belleville, Illinois, making 13 cents an hour. And so, you know, he began doing that and then worked up until World War I, and I think it was about 1918, I think, around that time that the United States got involved in you know, the war over in Europe. And he fought over there, and, you know, they thought it was going to be over quickly, and it wasn't. It involved trench warfare. It was very violent, very hard. He talked very little about it, but the things that he did mention, and it was just disturbing, you know, the war, as war is. But after that, he came back home, went to work in the mine until there was a coal mining accident, and the ceiling caved in on him, and he had fractured legs and a fractured back and wasn't able to work for about a year. And back then, they didn't have rehab like they have today, so they'd set up a couple saw horses so that he could learn to walk again. But the amazing thing about my grandpa Buchholz is that despite all that and the trials and the tragedies of life and the hardness of life, he still had this ability to touch our lives, especially my older sister, Sandy, and myself, because there are times that we would get our wagon when we stayed with him, and he'd take us to the local appliance store. We'd walk because Grandpa never drove a car. So we walked everywhere, and so we took the wagon, picked up a big refrigerator appliance box, and brought it home and so that we could make a clubhouse out of it. And so we did that in their yard. But not only that, he'd take us out. We'd go to the bottling company that was in Belleville and be able to see actually soda being bottled, but also we'd pick up a case of soda and bring it back home. What a treat for us as kids. But the amazing thing is that Grandpa never treated us as a nuisance, that he wanted to spend time with us. And that's, I think that's reflected in my desire to spend time with my grandkids and to invest my life in them because of what he did for me. He had a life-changing impact upon my life. But the reality is that the most powerful influencer in our lives, or should be in our life, is Jesus Christ. His ministry was powerful, as you see in this encounter in the synagogue. And I want us to see that today. I want to be able to stress that out and how that impact of his life and his legacy can also have an impact on our life and how we relate in our world. The first thing I want us to see this morning as we examine the scripture is the noticeable impact of Jesus' ministry. As you go through the book of the Gospel of Mark, I love Mark because it's so fast-paced. It's shorter than the Gospels, but I mean, it's just hits and hits and hits and hits, and it's exciting to see God's work through the ministry of Jesus. But oftentimes, Jesus would go to the synagogue and teach. Now, the synagogue was different than the temple. The temple was more formal. The synagogue was a little bit, we would say, maybe laid back. Oftentimes, they would have guest speakers come in and rabbis, teachers. And because Jesus, they knew Jesus to be a teacher, oftentimes he would come into the synagogue and use that as a platform to be able to teach the word of God. And so Jesus was there in the temple. But there was something different about Jesus as he spoke within the synagogue. In verse 22, notice verse 22, that as Jesus spoke, it says that they were astonished at his teachings, for he taught as one who had authority, not as the scribes. Now, the scribes were involved in handling the Word of God. If anybody knew the Word of God, the scribes would have known that. They had a hands-on with the Word. They were also considered teachers of the law, scholars of the day, the experts at the interpretation of the law. And when these teachers would teach, they would often use the words of others who were supposedly the experts, known, well-known rabbis and teachers who had authority and credibility. So they would share that. But there's something about Jesus' ministry, and as he spoke, he didn't do that. Because when he spoke the word of God. His teaching was not an explanation from men. When Jesus taught, he got to the point. His words were logical, they were concrete. Jesus didn't back away. He spoke what needed to be said, what people needed to hear, and it was like life-giving water that flowed over the lives of his hearers. The words of God to man. We know that one of the great sermons in scriptures is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 through 7. And at the conclusion of Jesus' message, this is shared in the last part of Matthew 7. Familiar words. It says, and when Jesus was finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them not as one who had authority, not as their scribes. The words of Jesus have power and authority because they were the words of God. They touched the depths, the soul, of people, to his listeners. And we realize that, you know, when we look at the scriptures, you know, all of us have probably read novels, some great novels. But if you would lay a novel next to the Bible and you would read both, you would be stirred by that novel. You might be moved, even maybe to the point of tears. But that book would not have the same power and ability to touch your heart as the words from God. I know that in my own life because I have scripture that I would listen to as I walked. And sometimes I just had to stop and not listen anymore because I wanted to get on down on my knees and worship the Lord as I heard the Bible spoken. And so the Word of God is powerful. James talks about it being like a mirror. You know, we look at it and we see ourselves as we really are. And sometimes maybe you want to run from that. You want to get away from it. But the most powerful thing that we can do is we can let the Word of God touch our hearts and life and let it minister to us. The words of God bring spiritual transformation as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, speaks to us. So there's a noticeable difference in the ministry of Jesus that had an impact upon the lives of people and upon our lives. But something else we see in this passage of Scripture is the source of Jesus' authority. As Jesus was teaching in verse 23 and following, it says, immediately there in the synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." He says, "You're the Holy One of God." You know, over and over, as you travel through the Gospel of Mark, one of the things that you might notice is that in those passages of scriptures, a lot of confrontation with the forces of darkness. People possessed and controlled by evil spirits and with demons. And we also see that Jesus possessed the ultimate authority over the forces of darkness. Ironically, it's pretty amazing that in the first several chapters of Mark, the recognition of who Jesus is doesn't come from the teachers of the law. It comes from what? It comes from the forces of darkness because they knew who Jesus was. They knew him from ancient times. They knew that this Jesus had such power that he could cast them into the lake of fire. That's why the demon, basically speaking for other demons, "Have you come now to destroy us?" Demons could come as angels of light. They could hide out in the synagogue. And nobody would recognize that there were the forces of darkness even engaged within the context of a spiritual environment. But they knew Jesus, and Jesus knew them. The demon knows the truth concerning Jesus' identity, authority. He says, "You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. Then notice the response of the people. It says, "And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" Why was there such a noticeable, dramatic difference in acknowledgement of the authority of Jesus? Why? Because Jesus was from God. Because Jesus was presenting God's kingdom and glory. Unlike the religious leaders, Jesus Christ wasn't promoting himself. He wasn't speaking in a way that he would get the attention for himself. He was speaking to the glory of his Father. You might turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Because we see the extent of Jesus Christ's ministry. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows himself all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him so that you may marvel." Jesus' ministry was inseparable from the authority of heaven. Jesus didn't do anything that wasn't in line with what the Father desired to happen. But how does that relate to us this morning as we think about this? We're to be the modern day expression of Christ in our world. It means that we have the authority that we can reveal the life and power of Jesus Christ in the world in which we live. That you and I can touch our world because God's Spirit lives in us. He can work through us, human beings, believers. Jesus said in John 14, 12, "I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father." Now, when we hear words like that, it's almost like there's something in us that says, no, I can't be that much like Jesus. You know, that I could have that kind of influence on our world like Jesus did. So we kind of question that in our minds sometimes, that how could I have that kind of influence? But the thing we need to see also with this is not only that we can share the light of Jesus that lives in us, but also the reality that when Jesus said this, he was saying the Holy Spirit was going to come upon his church. Where Jesus Christ, when he walked on the earth, he could only be at one place at a time, right? He had a body. But when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, that Spirit filled all believers. It means that wherever the Christian church is, that the Spirit of Christ is lifed out. That expands the power of the gospel because God is at work through his church. The authority of God in our homes, in the factories, in the government, in our daily activities, God is at work because his Spirit lives in us. So it doesn't matter where you go, the influence of Christ and his power authority can be lifed out wherever we are. Then something else I want us to notice this morning is how the spreading influence of Jesus' ministry took place. Notice that when Jesus expressed the authority of the Father and the influence of God's kingdom, glory was also spread. Mark chapter 1, verse 28 states that his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. I like what one translation how it expresses. It says, "The news of Jesus spread rapidly throughout all the neighborhoods." And that kind of remind us of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." You know, I can't think of a greater passion for our lives than to be included in what God's doing in the world. Spreading and revealing his glory to people who need it. There's people that are all around us are hurting. We live in a hurting world. We all know that because there are times that we go through a lot of pain and hurt in our own lives. Through loss and heartache, through financial problems, all of us have issues in our life, right? You got any issues in your life? I do. And we struggle. But we have something in us that gives us hope. Hope for change. Hope for a future that, the world doesn't have. The wonderful life-giving power of God. It's something to live for. It's something to shoot for. Several years ago when, I don't know if it's several years ago, but a few years ago, when we were living in Aylesbury and we're living on 20 acres, our family would come and often our grandkids would come and they enjoyed being out in the country. One time when the kids came out, Nolan brought his BB gun. And I know all about BB guns. I remember, well, because I had boys. I'll tell a quick story. Jason, my son, my youngest son, decided he was going to take his BB gun. He put a bottle rocket in the barrel and was going to shoot. As he shot the BB gun, the bottle rocket would take off because he'd light the bottle rocket. The only problem is that when he shot the BB gun, it hit someone's storm door window and so I had to pay for somebody's storm door window because of that. So I know all about BB guns and boys, and it kind of gets off course really quick. And so because of my knowledge about that, I decided I need to talk to Nolan about BB guns and what he needs to be aiming at. And so I had some targets. I had a target like this one here that I have. Do you remember this, Nolan? This, and I taped it to a box, and because I wanted him to aim at the right thing, because we had chickens and we had cats, and there were birds and all kinds of things and windows, so you could shoot at anything, or it could ricochet and hit something. So I set up this, taped it to a box, and said, "This is what you want to aim at. Nothing else." And so I gave him direction and a mission for his life. Shoot the target. And it took a while, but Nolan came up to me and showed me the target. He says, "I hit the target right in the middle." Pretty amazing. And I share that story just to say that the God has given us something to aim for. I mean, we can spend our life shooting at all kinds of targets. I mean, and you know we have. But the greatest target, the greatest thing that we can shoot for is this. Your aim should be His fame. Your aim should be His fame, the fame of Jesus, to share the light of Jesus, to bring the glory of God to the world around us. So I want to share just a few things in conclusion of how we do that, or what's involved with that. First, we need to understand that you've been given authority by Jesus to expand His glory. We know the familiar passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Listen, I'm not challenging you to go in the fray of the battle without having some power and support behind you. I want you to know this morning that the power of God is behind you, because Jesus is the one that says and tells us to go out into the world. We're not doing this on our own. This is not some kind of like, I need to do this, but I don't have an authority behind me. No, the authority is behind you. You have the papers. The paper is the Word of God, and it says go. So you're not operating with some kind of fake ID that's not going to get you anywhere, because you're always questioning, well, someone's going to catch me. No, you have the power and authority of God to be able to share the Word of God, to share your life with other people, and know that you can have an impact because you go in the power and the authority of the Lord. So when the battle gets to be fever pitch and you got people saying, Who do you think you are? He said, I'm just a child of God, and I'm sharing with you what God's given to me. He is with you. That's what that passage of Scripture encourages with. But something else that we need to remember this morning is we need to continue to examine the heart-driving passion of our life. God created every single one of us with the capacity to love. The only thing is with that capacity to love is kind of we get off the rails sometimes, don't you? All of us do. Because there's so many things that we can love in the world that more than we can love God, right? And so we take our eyes off the target. You know, I was talking earlier about our aim. Our aim can get off, and when our aim is off, when our heart is off, then we're not shooting in the right direction. In a sense, we're kind of wasting our time, sometimes on frivolous things. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it matters where your heart is. It matters. What's the most important thing in your heart? What are you filling your heart with? Where your heart is, that's going to guide your actions in your life. So what's captured your attention? What's captured your aim? What are you aiming for? And then a further thing this morning I want to share with you is you need to seek tangible ways to spread the fame of Jesus. Now, you need to understand this. Before you even get too far out, you need to understand building the fame of Jesus begins right in your home. Expanding that, loving the people in your home, loving your children, loving your parents, loving the people that are closest to you as that influence expands into the other places that you go, your life activities, and even the smallest, most insignificant act in the name of Jesus dispels darkness. Too much time among us as believers, we're shouting at the darkness. You know what shouting at the darkness does? It does nothing. I remember one time we went, I believe it was in Colorado, and we went into a cave. And one of the things they did while we were exploring this cave with this large group of people is they said, watch this, and they shut out the lights. I mean, totally shut out the lights. Do you know how dark it gets in a cave? I mean, children were screaming. Probably a few adults that were screaming too. But it was dark. They also took a light, a small light. I don't know if it was a lighter or a match, and lit it. And the realization of that small light dispels darkness. It doesn't matter. Light is always more powerful than darkness. It dispels darkness. And we have not the light of a match, we have the light of Jesus. And the light of Jesus can dispel darkness in people's lives. The smallest, you might think, most insignificant act in the name of Jesus is powerful to shine His love and grace and forgiveness in the hearts of people. But something else I want to say and close with this. That if you're a believer, that you've been given the heart of the Lord. That you've been given content to your life. We haven't poured the content in. God's poured the content in. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 through chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes this, and just carefully listen to these words. Paul writes, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So content, God forgave you, so forgive. Then he goes on to say, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. The content that God gives to us, another content, is that we're beloved children of God. So what is Jesus and what he has is also ours because we're an heir of God. We're a child of God. So content. Then he goes on to say in that verse, and walk in love as Christ loved us. We've been loved by God so that we can love others. If we've been loved by Jesus, we can surely love others. And as Jesus gave himself up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Nothing is asked of us more than what Jesus Christ did for us. We have the ability to sacrifice our life for another because God has poured that content into our life. You see, we've got the power. We've got what God has poured into us to be able to share it with the people around us. You have the heart of God. So the challenge to you is not an empty challenge. It's a challenge worthy of our attention and our aim and of our life. What are you aiming for? What are you shooting for? Do you see the power of your life? You've got the ability. You've got the Lord standing behind you with his authority. And two, if you don't have that in your life, if you don't have the heart of God, Jesus Christ came into this world. He lived his life, a sinless life. He died on a cross. He rose again so that you could have resurrection life. That the power and authority of God could come to take residence up in you. You can be a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's life can be in you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we think about our own lives today, God, I pray that, God, that we'll be able to receive, God, the reality of what you've placed into our lives and the gifts that you've given to us. I pray that we could see the power that rests in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, that we might be challenged that even in the smallest ways, God, that we can expand your fame to the point, God, that when people see us, they'll ask, well, what's different? I pray that, God, that we would see, God, that we can share the truth, the reality of the relationship that we have. So, God, I pray that for your church, pray for, God, for the believers, and I pray for those maybe, God, that this morning that they're just questioning all this, and, God, that they, as they struggle with the things in life, that and the realization of where their heart is, God, that they would give their heart and life to you. That they would be touched by your grace and love and forgiveness and mercy. God, we give you praise for your provision, for your goodness, and for your grace. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name.